When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
What's your boggle, man?
What's my boggle?
What's your boggle today? You got a salty attitude.
Question. Me?
Yeah, salty attitude. You got a big frown energy. I need you to. We've got important work to do today because it is the summer of Sandra is kind of coming almost to a close.
The air is a little chillier.
Yeah.
You know, the afternoons are a little shorter.
Yeah.
And the summer of Sandra does feel like it's sort of
it's winding
reaching
down.
A natural conclusion. Although I feel like we have, in terms of like our journey.
Yeah.
I understand the way time works, but the way our journey goes, it feels like it's really reaching a crescendo.
A crescendo, yeah. I think so, too.
I feel like
yeah.
we have so much left to do, you know, and so little time left in which to do it.
Well, we should say what it is, because it's The Strange Bedfellows, and it's Jack
it's
and
Tanner. It's a romance podcast.
Romance podcast, romance which is why this week we're talking about the romantic affair, fling, if you will, between Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone in the hit 90s romance Demolition Man.
We are so deep into The Summer of Sandra
yeah.
that if this is, for some reason, your first episode...
Yeah.
You should at least go back to the start of The Summer of Sandra.
Yeah.
Just to understand like the journey so far. But just to catch everyone up with where we're at.
Yeah.
We're doing all Sandra Bullock movies right
yes,
now.
Yes, all of them.
As I mean, we try to find sort of a
all of the appropriate tie, Sandra you know? Bullock movies. Yeah. Up to yeah. and including A Simple Plan, which she's not in, I should say, at all.
No, that's like a spiritual sequel, squeakquel. And
we should say the hashtags. It's hashtag summer of Sandra, hashtag summer of Mandra. We're taking it back from the manosphere.
Yep.
Hashtag summer of Samdra. We are keeping track of Sandra's body count.
We
hashtag summer of Sundra. We
one.
Both have boys. They sometimes join us. It's been a little while since they did. And of course, hashtag meatballs for the summer of Sandra. What I thought we could do before we get into Demolition Man, a little bit of an audit of the Summer of Sandra. Make sure we're hitting our KPIs. Just kind of check out to make sure that we're hitting our core demographic, that
yeah.
we're doing the work in the way that we need to be doing it in a sensible way. And we can kind of take a circle back about some of the pitfalls and some of the advantages for the brand here. How's it
can
been
I
going?
Quickly,
yes.
Can I just really quickly step in just yeah. like to put on my auditor hat?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Did Sandra Bullock was in this movie. Dramatis Personae.
Yes. Dramatis Personae. Yeah.
Demolition. Let's see. Sandra Bullock's in it, obviously. She's sort of the main heroine of the romantic movie. Her love interest is Sylvester Stallone. They're very natural on the screen together.
Yeah. But we also, did you say Mr. Congeniality is in it?
Mr. Oh, you know what? And yeah, it was like America's Sweethearts.
Yeah.
It's the guy who was... her like dorky buddy in Miss Congeniality is her
yeah.
dorky buddy in this. Who's
wow.
that guy?
A guy from Thing. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He's great.
Handsome guy from Thing. He was great in it. Yeah.
He's so good. Rob Schneider's in it. You know, it's just yeah. like you watch 1997's Demolition Man and you're like, haha, this is gonna be so like stupid and it's gonna be dumb and we're gonna like make fun of it on the show. And then you're sitting and you're watching it and you're just like glued to the screen.
So good.
And everyone's performances are just like so alive and so vibrant. Even like Sylvester Stallone uses his like complete inability to act to his advantage in this. As like
it's just like a meathead
proto human.
Yeah, so good. It's a
god. It's
film.
Good.
Yeah,
Wesley Snipes is good in it. Blade.
It's I think Wesley Snipes' finest performance. He just absolutely commits to the bit of Simon.
If you're
Phoenix.
A libertarian,
yeah,
which like I know you are.
No,
like this movie is like. A dream come true for you.
Is more than Wesley Snipes libertarians in the film? Is Slice probably?
Dennis
Oh,
Leary?
Dennis Leary's in it, yeah.
God, he's so good. God, it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to watch. You have to watch it. It's a beautiful romance. Is it a romance?
Is it
Sorry,
a romance?
I almost colored the commentary there, but
yeah.
Let's talk about it. Is it a romance?
Vampire!
Is it a romance? Interesting question. Well, they do. You know what I'm going to say? Can I say this about it? I don't even think they're like in love. They're just like horny. Like, well, technically, she's a love interest for him. But I kind of, maybe it's Stallone's acting. I think they're just like kind of horny for each other, understandably. They're both like very beautiful specimens, you know? But there's no indication that they like, feel any particular way about each other.
Let me ask you a question about every single Sandra Bullock movie we've watched
Perfect.
So far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does she ever feel like she's in love with any of the men in them, especially the ones that are more action-oriented? This is as good as we're going to get, I think.
Was she in love with Mr. Congeniality? No.
No.
Definitely not. That's just a very collegial relationship that like is like the big reveal is that I guess they
you know who's really in love
want to go on a date with each other later. Yeah.
It's really Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, that's the real love story. That is the love story.
It is a romance.
Yeah. You know, what's the thing they say about houses in Shakespeare? You know, two houses and then like, but they're mad at each other. That's the famous beginning of the thing. You know?
Uh-huh.
They're both alike in a lot of ways, but like they're pissed. You know, from that famous thing? It's that. They're, you know, like star-crossed. They can't be. They couldn't, but could they? You know? Have you read
it? Sandra. So it is a romance.
Yes.
Sandra's in it.
But not the one you think.
The main character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What else is left to audit? It was a perfect choice. It's a perfect movie.
Well, what we're auditing is the summer of Sandra in its entirety. Have we done a good job? Have we hit our KPIs? Have we, for instance, when we set out to do this, we said maybe we could get Sandra Bullock on the show. Has that happened? No. Failure. Big failure. Whoops. Didn't even try.
You tried? Have you tried?
No, neither of us. That's, you know, it's not all roses here. You know what else? Big failure. We were going to keep track of all of her kills, weren't we? And
we have been. I think we've got that somewhere. And I'll say this. I captured it in this. Zero.
Zero kills. Yeah.
Demolition Man.
Yeah. I even have like a sound drop for her kills, but I've only used it twice. So I guess there
you can
are only
use
two
it here,
kills.
And here's the tally for this one.
She does a murder. No, she does a murder death.
A
kill.
Lot of people. No, a lot of people die.
She does.
A lot of people murder death die.
She does a murder death kill in this film. So that's
on whom?
Just like one of Simon Phoenix's goons.
She doesn't. I don't think she kills
yes,
anybody.
She does.
I was watching.
I'll pull the clip. Oh man,
I was watching.
Annoying for me.
Let me go look. Let's surely someone has done this research before.
Okay, perfect. This is a bad job because if anyone
moviebodycounts.com
we're literally the
Here
only
we
people
are like spinning our wheels like a bunch of
in history
idiots
whose entire job is to keep count of Sandra Bullock's death count. Okay,
I don't know what the alert is or I don't know what the sound effect is. I haven't heard it because we've only done it like twice.
Okay,
but it's triggered because there are 25 kills in this movie.
Yeah, I know,
murder
but
death kills.
One of them is Sandra does it.
And one of them belongs to Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. So let's chalk that one up. So I think we have three confirmed kills for Sandra. She killed Jack Devlin in the net by murking him. Just fucking cold-bloodedly pushing him off a balcony.
She murked him, yeah.
And
Speed
then
2?
In Speed 2... No, she no kills, no recorded kills for Sandra Bullock in Speed 2. The net, I already said.
It's just the one.
Just the one. There are a lot of deaths, but only one. Well, we weren't sure whether she does like crash the car of the guy from the Praetorians into a cold-blooded assassin.
We sort of gave her... Okay, so she did technically kill the vampire Angelov.
Twice.
In Practical Magic, twice.
So that's two kills. And then I also think she kills Mark Feuerstein in Practical Magic.
She does the curse. Her curse, it was sort of her negligence falling in love with him.
Yeah.
Even though she knew that she had this curse that would cause him to die.
Yeah.
It's at least like manslaughter.
Yeah.
Wow, so we've watched a lot of these so
three
far,
kills
huh?
in Practical Magic, one kill in The Net, and then a murder-death kill here in Demolition Man. And then so that's, I think, five total kills for Sandra in The Summer of Samdra.
Right. Okay, wow. That's a lot more than I expected.
It's, you
honestly,
know...
For a romance podcast,
it's a lot more than you'd think. Okay, so that, I think this is the kind of auditing I wanted to
All
do.
All right, I'm out.
You're
That's
out.
Great. We're out.
Okay, we're done.
I think we're killing it so far.
Yeah, okay. Good. We've watched all the movies we wanted to watch.
No, we still have to do Simple Plan. I think there's been a swell.
And there's one called Love Potion Number 9, which maybe...
No, we already did it.
We didn't.
She was already magic once. How could she possibly be magic twice?
I think she's magic a second time. Let's look at the Rotten Tomatoes for that. I think that's the only one that I have on my list that we haven't done.
Divine Sister, Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood.
Yeah.
We'll
figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Ooh,
I think
all about Steve.
Okay, that's you're in the wrong headspace.
Thomas Hayden Church is in that.
Okay,
from Wings.
From Wings. Oh yeah, we love that. Let's see. Should we say the film?
Wait, that's who that is, right? Who's Thomas Hayden Church?
I've lost him. I shouldn't, because sometimes I started by suggesting that it's okay for us to be Googling things. And then he's just talking about Thomas Hayden Church. It's kind of lost any relevance to what we were talking about. Do you want to say the film?
No.
No. what is the, what's this energy now? What's that?
sorry. Yes, I do want
you
to
do
say
want
the film.
To. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, should we think about our timeline a little bit? How many more Sandra Bullock movies are we even going to do? That's where my head was stuck. Sorry.
That's where it was. I don't know. A couple. I think we have to do Love Potion Number 9 and maybe Bird Box. And then I'm kind of like, ow.
Great.
But, you know.
We're in the wind.
That's what this is about. That's what this is about. If we hit our KPIs, is it time to disband the company? Is the summer of Sandra over? His kids are going back to school.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
My son's done now.
Yeah.
You know, we're squeezing this in. We're squeezing it in. Yeah, I'm done. I'm gonna blip out of here.
You're gonna blip out of here.
I'm
now.
Gonna blip to the future when we're done with Summer of Sandra.
Okay. What does that mean?
With your bubble. With the Arbiter Tanner's bubble.
You're gonna take Arbiter
Bye.
Tanner's Okay. Okay. Normally when that happens, Arbiter Tanner takes his place, but instead what has happened, just to describe for listeners, Tanner's taken the time bubble, which always happens when we call for Arbiter Tanner, and he's gone blip and he's disappeared, and now I'm just staring at his like wall of Jar Jar Binks paraphernalia. So I guess I said something to piss him off about the Summer of Sandra, and he's fucking gone, which means I don't have a blip, but I think what it means is I'm going to have to do this the hard way and I guess cryogenically freeze myself until the time of Arbiter Tanner so I can go find him in the future and we can actually say what happens in the film, which is, as you can imagine, deeply annoying. Okay, here I go.
Jack Shepherd, you stand before this council. Not as the podcaster, not as the voice of the masses, but as an individual who has betrayed the sanctity of brevity and relevance in media. We live in an age of information saturation, where every moment is precious, every second accounted for. In this era, we rely on voices like yours to filter through the noise, to offer clarity and precision. But you, Mr. Shepherd, you betrayed that trust. The Summer of Sandra, An indulgence, a miscalculation, or perhaps an arrogant assumption that your listeners would follow you into the abyss of endless ramblings. The integrity of our media, the commitment to respect our audience's time, has been compromised. For this, traditional penalties will not suffice. No fine can restore the hours lost. No public apology can mend the frayed trust. Mr. Shepherd, for the grievous crime of testing our collective patience, you are hereby sentenced to be cryogenically frozen. As you sought to stretch moments into hours, so too will your sentence stretch, freezing you for an undetermined expanse of time, likely spanning 30 or 40 years. Time is our most precious commodity, Mr. Shepherd. Perhaps, suspended in the frost of time, you will come to understand that. Initiate the cryogenic procedure.
Where am I?
The near future. I guess it's near enough that someone you knew as like a rookie,
okay,
is now like sort of a, you know, like a year away from retirement.
Okay, and what
so it's been like 40 years.
I've been cryogenically frozen for 40 years.
You've been cryogenically frozen.
Okay.
You've been in these little pucks of ice. We didn't know what to do with you. My name is... Am I Michaela or am I Lakeland?
Oh,
I'm Michaela.
Yes. You're...
Hello.
Michaela. Michaela.
My name is... What's sort of the... Did you get a sense of like the... Sorry, I know there's a lot happening right now. This is a lot to take in for you. I know it's a lot to take in for the...
listeners, yeah, many of whom I think probably don't know who either Lakeland or Michaela
are. Makes my
are.
Noodle yeah. a little bit.
Yeah.
I should explain.
I think you're Lakeland.
You've been depucked in the far future. Society has collapsed. It has been rebuilt around the archive of the podcast...
Ah, yes. The Babysitter's Club.
Catalog,
yeah.
I would say,
okay.
of yeah. the revered Jack Shepherd, may his soul forever rest in the great beyond, and Supreme President Tanner Greenring.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that's all that was remained. I know about this because some of it, I think, leaked into the past. You know, time blips and stuff.
Yeah, we sent back some, like, literature and stuff, you know?
Yes. So society has been rebuilt basically around all the remaining archives of the podcast, formerly known as the Babysitter's Club. In my time,
sure.
where I come from, it's known as
Strange Bedfellows. Yeah. And, you know, other, you know, various things. Like,
okay.
We can dip into the Patreons. It's just, we've built sort of a whole society, a whole religion around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we revere the great spirit of Jack Shepherd. May
yes.
his soul
well, I am here.
Rest in the great beyond. Sorry, I didn't catch your name yet. I just was kind of going through the whole spiel, and of course we all, like...
Oh, so you do this whenever you unfreeze someone.
Bow in reverence every day to the Supreme President, yes. Tanner Greenring.
May his soul forever rest in peace.
No, he's fine.
okay.
May his glorious, supreme...
Effulgence?
Rule.
Yes.
Grind ever onward.
Great. Wait. He is president.
Yes, and he's asked me to de-thaw you.
Okay.
My name is Michaela.
Right.
I'm like an acolyte.
Yes. Okay. I know this now. Yes. And what was that?
It
sounded
I'm a cop.
Like Seal when I woke
yes.
up.
That's the national anthem.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful.
Welcome to the far future.
Yes.
And remind me what your name is again.
My name is Jack Shepherd.
Oh my god.
That's nice. I get that a lot.
Oh, it's you. Wow. They didn't tell me whose puck I was de-thawing.
Yeah. So I'm glad I found you because
I'm sorry about your untimely demise.
I was frozen. I'm looking for Tanner because we need to describe the film. I'm hunting him down. I've been de-thawed basically to hunt down Tanner so that
Supreme
we can Supreme President.
Tanner yeah. Greenring. I don't yeah. think that's going to happen, buddy.
Yeah.
I think Michaela, me,
yeah.
is the best you're going to get.
Okay. All right. Fine. Would you like, I guess, to describe the film Demolition Man with me, Michaela, from the future?
Yeah. I mean, kind of became the blueprint for society. As yeah. you know, I think tracking it like in a timeline, first we have Purge. Purge universe works really well. Purge goes off with that, like, it's fine. Like, it's hit. Great.
Everyone's happy about it.
We lock up all the people who, in, like, pucks who, like, break Purge, you yeah. know?
Uh-huh.
Like, 30, 40 years goes by, enough for society to completely transform from, literally the opening, like, it fades from black and everything's on fire.
Yeah.
It's like Hollywood and like, every single bit of it is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
The Hollywood Hills are on fire. The Hollywood sign's on fire. And it goes from that to like beautiful utopian paradise in like a generation
yeah.
because Purge worked.
Yeah.
Bad guys are in pucks.
Mm-hmm.
And society has been taken over by rules and politeness and
can I stop you? Are you describing what has actually happened here or are you describing the film
Demolition
Man? That's
why I said, sorry, yeah. I said, that's why I said, this movie is a blueprint for our
okay.
society.
Right. Yes. Very prescient.
Yes. It goes Purge.
Yeah.
Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Babysitter's Club extended right. universe.
Yeah.
Kind of like Futurescape.
And now it's sort of just Kiss from a Rose territory. Everybody's having a nice time. Singing Seal. Crime is gone. Can I ask you, is it Lakeland or Michaela?
Here's how buttoned up everything is. There's okay. a point in the movie where a guy like throws a graffiti bomb.
Yeah. And then it's immediately
and it turns into it like does a graffiti on like the sign for like IBM or something. I don't know, it was stupid.
Yeah.
And then like immediately something pops out of the ground and cleans all the graffiti off.
Let
like,
me.
Oh, it's what a vision.
Let me
people
ask
are having
you.
Video calls.
People are having video calls.
They're eating a Taco Bell.
I'm going to put this in terms that I think will be familiar to you. The film Demolition Man, Michaela, starts in 1996, and it's a hellscape in L.A.
1996. Wow.
Well, let me put you in a time and place. In 1996, that is the year that Amelia.
It's no wonder you died.
Freeman died.
Amelia Freeman.
Amelia Freeman died in 1996. At the same time, Christie has the idea to, the worst idea of all time.
Oh,
which
right.
is to break up the Babysitter's Club.
Okay.
This is putting you in a time and place. 1996. Christie and
I know
Barth
all this. This is from like the scripture. I've heard like.
Are trying to get together.
I've heard the revered Jack Shepard, may his soul ever rest in the great beyond, and
yeah.
the Supreme President Tanner Greenring talking about this, like, I don't know, like 212 times or something
yeah.
like that.
Claudia is sent
the,
back to the seventh
eternal,
grade.
The eternal archive, Jack.
Yes. Okay. But that's
everyone knows this. You're in the far future now.
But meanwhile, and this is my point, what we didn't realize is at the same time, Los Angeles is on fire. And
yeah,
John Spartan is like entered the like nuclear zone where Wesley Snipes, aka Simon Phoenix, has taken a bunch of hostages.
I think there's a troublesome thing that's going to happen with this episode if we like follow the timeline too far back.
Yeah.
Is what we know, Jack, yeah. I'm speaking to you as Lakeland. And maybe mm-hmm. you forget this because of your, like, meat brain. But, like,
yeah.
you know, obviously my understanding of you is, like, this ever-present record that has shaped society for the last, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
You should see the food out here.
Okay. I feel like it felt like you were in the middle of saying something important and then you just, like, kind of abandoned just as it was getting interesting.
It's like RX bars.
Okay.
Or whatever you used to do those ads for.
Yeah.
My point is,
yeah.
I'm afraid in this episode we are going to have to, and I have already tapped into some like pretty deep lore Babysitter's Club stuff.
Uh-huh.
So maybe listeners who are just here for the romance
mm-hmm.
just want to hear about like, you know, how Demolition yeah. Man is such a great romance.
Yeah, yeah. So you want me to leave
we'll be
off
a little lost. I do think we are going to yeah. have to do a little explaining though.
Yes. Okay.
Because in the Babysitter's Club universe in 1996, when all those things are happening, we do know that Knoxville has sort of been lost.
Knoxville has been lost to the cat people.
The books and the films and everything we consumed about the Babysitter's Club took place in Stony Brook, Connecticut.
Can I ask you this, Michaela? And this is going to this is baking my noodle. In your lore of the Babysitter's Club / Strange Bedfellows archives, which have made up, like, I guess, the religious texts for your society.
You're getting it. You're following.
Is
yep.
this episode part of it?
I don't think so. It's like there's always been these like gaps, you know,
in
the archives.
Gaps in
and
the
it's
archives.
Like it's suspected. It's like these like moments where our timelines have intersected, in which case we're not like
okay,
you know, so we have news of those. You know, I'm sure like I'll call the media after we're done here and be like, you'll never believe it.
Okay, so you know, in your lore in the
past,
you'll
never believe who I unthought.
There was this weird skip that happened in between Hope Floats and Love Potion Number 9 or Bird Box. I don't know, because I don't know the future. And now you think you know why.
Honestly, we don't really count the Strange Bedfellow stuff anyway.
Okay, yeah, it's just the Babysitter's Club stuff. Yeah, I figured. I was worried about that.
So anyway, to get back to the original question, we know what's going on in Stony Brook, Connecticut in 1996. We have like a pretty loose understanding of what's happening in Knoxville, Tennessee, and everything west of there, it's like comms are dark.
Brewdoggy is in a terrible depression, 1996. I'm just putting you in a time and place.
Yeah.
Stacy and Robert just broke up.
Stacy disappears and you know where she goes? L.A., and it's a fucking, like, nightmare. Yeah. You remember those California Diary books?
Yeah.
They were so dark.
Yeah, that's where Dawn...
Yes, that
so
was
Dawn, that's
what
why Dawn's
LA was
so
like.
Upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Michaela, I froze myself for 40-something years, roughly?
30, 40 years.
And guess what? I was awakened there.
Whoa.
Yeah,
you were hearing things?
I was hearing things. I experienced it. And I went through... I learned to knit somehow. I went through all that so that I could find Tanner to describe the movie. And it sounds like that's not going to happen, but I do, having gone through some pretty significant suffering on behalf of this mission, I would love to say the film in some
way. Let me just quickly explain what happened with Supreme President Tanner.
Okay, great, yeah.
He used Arbiter Tanner's time bubble to... He described Lake House himself, where he was like leaving letters for himself to like game the stock market and stuff, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Smart.
And he used that to like gain a bunch of influence, power, came to the far, like, you know, like by the time he had like blipped here, he was already a person of some renown.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of like stepped into power. So.
Okay.
And it's been great, honestly. Society collapsed. We rebuilt it around his old podcast. Like, everything's been going smoothly ever since then.
Well, let me ask you a different question then. It sounds like you're obfuscating every time I try to get to Tanner. Could I speak with Arbiter Tanner?
Of course. Yes.
Is he
This is his
here?
Timeline. Yeah. Let me video call him in on this, like, chair with a video, like, screen in it.
What? Like that's crazy. Man. You know what? Yeah. I know you think that's super futuristic, but it actually looks like a bad telepresence robot to me.
What?
Yeah, it's not that futuristic to me.
Well, your toilet paper is like bad seashells to us, so get fucked.
Okay. Arbiter Tanner, so nice to see you in your time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome. I didn't ever expect to see you here. I can't believe they unthawed your puck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I never told you about the puck thing.
Yeah.
There's like a thing you're not allowed to like tell people about the like what they're like in the future.
Yeah, I got the impression from you that it was all like messed up in the future, but it actually seems kind of nice. Except there's no
Supreme
swearing.
President Tanner, and that's another thing I forgot to tell you, is when Tanner does port here, he does...
He lakehouses himself.
President.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I got grifted. What can I say? He's been grifting me the entire time, too. He's been Lakehouse. He's been using my resources in these times to Lakehouse himself. It's a really complex lore.
Well, while we have you, I was thinking we could do our hit segment. I should tell you my lore because I told it to either Lakeland or
Who did I bubble with this before. Time?
Excuse me?
Who did I just bubble with?
Oh, that was Michaela or Lakeland.
Okay. Because I noticed it was just like I just bubbled down the street. Like yeah, I could have just walked.
Yeah. Trying to keep in my mind everything that's happening here and I think what it is. Yeah, I was explaining to you that you
don't
know.
I think this is going well.
Yeah. I pucked myself because I need to finish the podcast about Demolition Man. And Tanner didn't want to do it. But I only have like a very set window before I have to go pick up my son. And so I took extreme measures to make it happen. And so we're here. And while I have you, if you're not busy, it seems like there's no crime in this future. So I don't think you'll mind doing our hit segment on the one hand.
I mean, there's crime if you leave, like, Megacity 25601, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Because then it's, like, priest rules. There's, like,
it's
desert vampires.
Yeah, okay. This is our segment where we talk about the positive, middling, and negative reviews of the film, which we haven't really described yet. So I think there are probably a lot of people who listen to our show, our romance podcast, who haven't seen Demolition Man.
They should watch it. It's really good.
I'll just, as you know.
Especially if they're libertarians, like the praised eternal Jack Shepherd, may his soul forever be great beyond.
I think that might be a mistranslation of some of the sacred texts that you think that. But I'll say just as a thumbnail sketch, they freeze Simon Phoenix.
They puck him.
For his crimes, and then they freeze Sylvester Stallone, so that he can go to the future and hunt him down. But that's not what you're here for. I don't want to waste your time with this. When I find Tanner, we'll describe the film. What I'd like to do with you is go over some of the positive, middling, and negative reviews of this film on, weirdly, Amazon Prime.
I would also just call him Supreme President.
Okay.
While you're
you
here,
that's
just
better.
To be careful. He's got like these like bots all over, just like keeping an eye on things.
Can I read some reviews to you?
Please.
Yeah. Okay, so this is our hit segment within a segment. It's called On the One Hand, where we talk about the positive reviews of the film. Rotten Tomatoes, in my past, is pretty broken.
Okay.
It's doing a thing that it does when there are no audience reviews of a film, which is it says, this movie hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I think that's just because you're looking at it here in the far future.
That may be it.
And we've sort of like, because you guys talked about Demolition Man in an episode where you were in the far future, it's sort of like a blip from time. So
that makes sense.
It's not part of like our record, you know?
Fortunately, Bezos is on top of it. And I have pulled some reviews from the Amazon Prime video rental of this film.
Yeah.
And here is a positive one. It's from Amazon customer.
Which Bezos?
Jeff?
Jeff, I don't think I know a Jeff Bezos.
Okay, well, in our time, he was the CEO of Amazon.
Amazon?
Amazon.
I don't know it.
Okay, I'd love to read this.
I thought you were talking about the Bezos boys.
Okay, no. Is that the Underground Coalition led by Dennis Leary?
Like,
yeah.
It's Beetle Bezos, and Dennis Leary's there too. He's gotten very old. He's in his like 90s. It's just like 30 years from your timeline.
Please, can I say the review to you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Amazon customer gave this film 5.0 out of 5 seashells.
Yeah, great.
That's a funny review. That's a funny title for the review on November.
Oh, maybe you don't get that joke, Jack.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
You don't know the seashells thing.
Here's what Amazon customer says. How the heck do you use the 3 seashells? It's bothered me for years since I first watched this movie, and I still haven't figured it out. If you love unsolved mysteries, you'll love this movie. LOL, and if you figure out how to use the 3 seashells, let me know. That's nice. That's good. That's a good review.
Do you want me to tell you?
Kind of. You know what I was thinking? I was saying to Sarah, it would be expensive, but we are modern. We're a modern family, and we have bidets in our home, and not toilet paper. LOL. We're not.
Yeah, monsters. We're also not fucking cavemen.
I was thinking it'd be cool to just get three seashells and have them be what you press to operate the bidet.
That's great.
And then that would kind of solve, you know, a lot of things, including this mystery for Amazon customer.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a funny joke, right? I'll do that.
My mind immediately goes to that there's some kind of like, you want it to be a little bit more tasteful than just like scooping, you know?
I think they're buttons that you press. That
no,
like,
I don't think they're buttons. Okay. I think they're seashells.
Yeah, okay. Nobody knows. It's a mystery. We'll have to ask the director. So
it's been like 30 years. Yeah. Like, what possibly could have changed in 30 years? I guess, you know what? There was a bidet revolution, at least in my household.
It's certainly in my home.
In the last 30 years.
After you and I went to Japan, sorry, not you and I, after Tanner and I, you guys do look alike, apart from the helmet, which Tanner never wears. But other than that, you do have similar features.
Again, please, Supreme President Tanner, President. While you're here, just, you know, it's like polite.
This is a segment within a segment where we talk about the middling reviews of the film. It's called On the Fence Hand.
Yeah.
And I have a review here from Rosalie A. Gonzalez, who gave this film is 3.0 out of 5 stars.
Is that the way language worked in your time?
No, it doesn't make sense to me. I would have thought On the Fence would have made more sense.
What's the review?
The review is this. My husband liked it.
Cool husband.
Well, I just thought it was nice of Rosalie. She gave it, it sounds like she didn't like it. But she
just averaged out their 2 reviews.
She dutifully gave it 3 stars. And she says, like, quite enthusiastically, there's an exclamation point. My husband liked it. And I think that means that, like, she's happy if he's happy. Yeah. And that just seems like a good marriage.
Yeah. She was like, I was a 1, Rosalie. He was a 5. So yeah.
There we go.
There's a 3.
This is a segment within a segment where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. It's called On the Other Hand. The first negative review of the film is by
that
Pineapple.
That one makes sense.
Yeah. What? Because it's such a good movie. Everybody should watch it. And you know what, listeners? If you haven't, you're going to want to after this episode, because I don't think you're going to get it described to you that good.
You shouldn't have to need it described to you good. You should go watch it.
Pineapple gave this film 2 out of 5 stars with the review titled Stupid Movie on March 31st, 2023. And the following review, DVD played fine, but was a stupid movie.
Well, you know what? We're going to count that one as a win, actually. Because it sounded like the DVD worked fine.
And this was on March 2023. This person is ordering a DVD.
This is like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Of Demolition Man. Jane.
What a good movie. Taco Bell is a gourmet restaurant in the future.
Taco Bell is a gourmet restaurant in the future. Fun fact, Sarah told me. Originally, it was going to be Burger King, but Burger King didn't want to play. The brand didn't want to play, which is good because
snobs.
It's just as a poll, it's not as funny. Taco Bell is much funnier. The joke is that Taco Bell is the only it's the only restaurant in the future. But not as funny with Burger King. I think Taco Bell is
with Burger King.
Really funny.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad we have Taco Bell now and here in the far future.
I have Taco Bell back in my past, and it's great. I just recently drove across the country, and I stopped it by myself, stopped at Taco Bell every day, fucking day.
Hey, just
glorious.
Make sure you keep your seashells handy, am I right?
Jane gave this film 1 out of 5 stars in a review entitled The Disc Won't Play Anywhere on October 4th, 2020. she gave it the following review. It is labeled Blu-ray, but it won't play in my Blu-ray player. So, just for argument's sake, I tried it in my sister's older DVD player. Still nothing.
How many more of these do you have of people complaining about whether or not the discs are working?
That's the only one, I think. I've only got 2 more reviews. Amazon customer, different one, I think, gave this film 1 out of 5 stars with a review titled, For Those Who Likes Comics.
Yeah.
And the following review on June 18th, 2002. This movie will like those who is into comic books.
That's
and
me.
Yes, and that's me. And I would give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
This movie will like me. And this movie doesn't like you, Amazon customer. Finally,
feeling pretty good about that one.
Amazon customer number 3 gave this film 2 out of 5 stars with a review entitled 99 Crap Movies Like This.
It's a list.
No, I think looking at the review, and you can tell me after I've read it, what that means is that in Amazon customers' opinion, there are at least 99 other crap movies just like this. It doesn't stand out in a crowd of crap movies.
Excuse me?
And here's the review.
Listen, I can hear someone making a case for it being a crap movie, but it is not like any other.
It's amazing. Crap, it's a masterpiece, and it's not a crap movie. It's funny. It's fun. It's full of action. Sandra's in it. Slides
uses
in
everyone
it.
Perfectly.
Mr. Congeniality is in it. Great
Honestly,
movie.
It's everyone's
Rob Schneider's
really good
in it,
and he's funny.
Here's their review. I hope kids aren't watching this kind of gratuitous violence. That's all it is.
They are. They were. I did.
But actors gotta work, even in trash such as this. And I guess I included this because I like that last little part, and it's probably why it got 2 and not 1 star, is Amazon customer, for all his curmudgeonly attitude, appreciates that actors do gotta work.
His name is John Spartan.
Arbiter Tanner, I'd love for you to say who gets the kisses this week, and then you don't even have to go, but I would love it if you could take me to President Tanner when you're done.
I am going to give kisses to the guy who says, likes comics.
Okay.
And then can I just take a seat? Or
you can? Well, I was hoping you'd take me down the street to the presidential palace, because I do need to find either Tanner or stay with you or find Michaela or Lakeland again. So I can
bubble you there.
Sure. Yeah, that would be great.
The bubbles ain't cheap, though, bud.
Okay. I've got 3 seashells.
Uh-oh. Are these used? Listen, I'll bubble you there just to hold on to these, okay?
Okay. Great. Okay. President Tanner.
Oh, Jack, you've caught up with me. Just really quickly, I know this has been like years, decades, like 30, yeah. 40 years in the making.
I learned to knit.
This great like culmination, this beautiful moment, you've caught up with me. But before you do that, I do need to go use the bathroom.
And then is there someone I can speak to?
Okay. I can bubble you back to Lakeland's place if you want, but I'll just be right back.
Okay, what? Okay, sure.
Okay.
Great.
I just want to take a break. I have to go pee.
Okay, fine. What? Well, I have to go in 15 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll make it quick. I have to go pee.
Great.
Hi, all. It's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey, but Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective, just like I have, when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick him up. You're back. You look refreshed.
Oh, Jack, what are you doing here?
3 seashells. Well,
Hey, I ran into President Tanner on the way out.
Okay.
It's me, Lakeland.
Lakeland, yes. I realized now
He was jogging out. He told me to tell you that he bubbled back to your time.
Oh.
He said you would know what that means.
Yeah,
I knew what it meant. I don't know why he said that.
And so he's doing an elaborate lake house, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know. He just told me to go in here and finish up the show with you, so...
Okay, well, do you want to... will you help me, like, say the movie and then, I guess, but better the blurb?
Yeah, I would love to. What movie?
Okay, it's Demolition Man.
Oh, we don't have that here.
Okay, well, Michaela said you did.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Okay, can I say it?
Yeah, please.
He goes to the future, but it's like...
What? How far into the future?
It's like 40 years, and it's like this paradise. He gets unthawed because Simon Phoenix has been unthawed by accident, apparently. Though it turns out it was deliberate that the future president, the President Tanner of the movie, I can't remember his name, like kind of wanted an evil criminal from the past to get rid of the criminal element, which is the only crime in San Angeles led by Dennis Leary.
Which is just actually like poor people.
Yeah. And then... But so they have to unthaw Sly, who's the only person who has any experience hunting down Wesley Snipes from the past. And they unthaw him, but he's like, he doesn't know how to handle the like society, which is like a gone PC.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody listens to like old commercial jingles on the radio, and like they don't have sex anymore. And like, you're not allowed to.
No,
swear.
They have mind sex. It's pretty rad.
Yeah. Oh, you have seen it.
No, sorry.
That's what you have here.
I thought we were describing, like, I wasn't really following. Okay. I thought we were just sort of describing, like, what life was like now.
Yeah, no, I was talking about Demolition.
We sort of, like, sit in, like, meditative poses across from each other. We put on, like, VR helmets.
Yeah.
We have mind sex. We eat rat burgers. It's cool.
Very cool. And Sandra is in the movie. We haven't really talked about her. Sandra Bullock, do you have her in your time? Any?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
She was sort of, they had like focused on her for like a really like pretty inappropriately long time in like sort of the dark,
oh, the
darker,
strange bedfellows.
Deeper like strange bedfellows stuff that no one really like likes or listens to.
Okay. So you're familiar with the Summer of Sandra.
Yeah, sort of. It's like we learned about it, you know, but it's
did
like,
it eventually come to an end?
I think one or both of them may have been frozen in an ice.
Okay.
Can't really remember.
Would you like to better a blurb with me, Lakeland?
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, but I would love to try.
Okay, well, you know, you could just bring your knowledge of the present. So the blurb...
I'll bring my knowledge of the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, perfect.
Universe, the extended lore of the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
Obviously the future. Or, I mean, my present here.
This is a hit segment we do from our podcast where we better a blurb about the film. It's called
Blurb Bebetterers.
And the blurb for this film is bad. It's on Apple TV, and it's also on Max if people want to watch it, which I think you will, because we really haven't described the film very much. It's good.
Shouldn't have to.
The blurb is this. It's just one sentence. So I think that's already a flaw. We can fix that.
Yeah,
I think two sentences is ideal for a blurb. But their blurb is this. A police officer is brought out of suspended animation in prison to pursue an old ultra-violent nemesis who is loose in a non-violent future society. Too much of a mouthful and not good.
There is a lot to like in there.
Okay. What did you like?
The one phrase really jumps out at me, which is ultra-violent.
Yeah.
Maybe we just want to keep that and build around it.
Okay, we can build around that. And do we want to, we'll want to say the blurb from the perspective, I guess, of now, which is the far future. So we should say that the movie is about the distant past.
The events of Demolition Man happened in the distant past in Michaela's timeline.
Yeah, I think
so.
Or
my Lakeland.
You're Lakeland.
I think it's now.
Okay, it's now. Okay, so...
Oh, no, it's 1990. Which one? The old one? The 1996? Or
it's
like,
1996
you know, like
plus
30
40. But now this is 2023 plus 40.
Right. So it's just like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like okay. 20 years ago.
All right. So let's start there.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah. 20 years ago, let's see.
20 years ago, in the 2040s.
To do. Yeah.
Should we say, should we put it in a time and place for your people? So it would be like roughly 30 years after the first episode of the Babysitter's Club Club.
Yeah, that's good. That helps. But you should say like...
Or do you want to just say, do you call it the Babysitter's Club Club, or you just call it like the sacred texts?
Well, we call it the Eternal Archive, but okay. We do kind of base our whole calendar around it. So like the first episode, the release date in the archive.
Shall I say the initiation of the Eternal Archive?
That's like zero, like post BBC.
Okay. Okay. So the initiation of the Eternal Archive. And then I'll put that in parentheses. Zero post BSCC.
BSCC, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And they have a police officer is brought out of suspended animation. You like the ultra violent thing, so we can maybe focus on that.
Yeah. We could say like an ultra. You know, we could say it's like an ultra-libertarian, parentheses, like Jack Shepard from Babysitter's Club.
I don't love that because I'm not sure think, it's like, historically
accurate. Just again,
accurate.
To like put it in a time, like to help it with like situate it for my society.
Yeah.
We want to say like, oh, he's ultra-libertarian, just like Jack Shepard, someone you know and would kind of like then feel get a feel for those. Like,
I'll
values.
Meet you halfway. An ultra-libertarian like you know who.
And then we got to, I want to say it's something like goes toe-to-toe with, but also want to say like jumps like 40 years into the future. So can we accomplish both of those things in one kind of saying?
Yeah.
Elegantly.
We could say goes time bubble to time bubble with.
It's perfect.
Okay. Does that work?
Ultra violent criminal. What did we say?
Oh, no.
Ultra libertarian.
Libertarian
cop.
Is Wesley Snipes. Right? We don't think that Sly is.
The libertarian is Jack Shepard. Like, when you're doing the winky, like, you know who. We're not talking about Wesley Snipes, Jack.
But he... right. But the ultra-libertarian who's going time...
All right,
bubble,
let's find something else.
Yeah.
Let's jump back.
Okay.
I think you're... You don't get it because you're from the past.
We only have 3 minutes before I have to go collect my child.
Where are we at with the blurb?
20 years ago in the 2040s, roughly 30 years after the initiation of the Eternal Archive, parentheses, zero post-BSCC. You know what we can do? This is going to work.
The summer of Sandra was winding to a close.
The summer of Sandra was winding to a close, ... and, well, you know the rest. Because everybody knows, right?
Oh, yeah. It's
like, just your shared history.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read this back to you. And... Well, you know the rest. Tell me if this sounds like a good description of the film, a blurb for the film Demolition Man.
Yeah.
20 years ago, in the 2040s, roughly 30 years after the initiation of the Eternal Archive, zero post-BSCC, the summer of Sandra was winding to a close. And, well, you know the rest.
I think that's
starring,
great.
Starring Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. And Rob Schneider.
And Rob Schneider, yeah. Jack, I think that was a great blurb that you lettered. I'm really sorry to have to do this. I have to put you back in the puck.
You got to put me in the back in the puck, but you can't go backwards.
And I have to send you back in time. We'll figure it out. The tech will You'll be there someday.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to puck you now. I'll do the outro. Everyone, this has been Strange Bedfellows. My name has been Lakeland. It's the far future. This one won't make it into the archive, so I guess I can just say whatever I want. Know that this is not set under duress. Supreme President Tanner Greenring is incredible and great, and please do rate and review his podcasts. All of them, give them all 5 stars, and follow Jack and Tanner on social media. And tune in next week when we're going to be discussing Bird Box.
Okay.
They're going to discuss Bird Box. It's part of the archive. Anyway, see you next week. Bye.
Beef